Jess, you've just started at the opening of your memoir, Staying. And it's a very dramatic opening because it opens with what really sparked off the whole book, the fact that your father committed suicide when you were still quite young too. How old were you when that happened?
I was 18.
And, of course, that's a really difficult age because you're just thinking about becoming adult at 18, aren't you? Yeah, and so you think you should be able to handle it, but were you able to handle it?
I mean, I guess there's definitions of all those words, isn't it? I consider myself to have handled it because I'm still here. And, you know, yeah, like life went on. But in terms of the sort of quality of that experience, it was certainly really tough, yeah.
But what was important was why your father committed suicide, because he was the second suicide in your family, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right. So my sister, my older sister, committed suicide when I was 12. And I think they're both sort of quite transitional ages, aren't they? Like 12 is the difference between a child and an adolescent, and 18 is just on the brink of adulthood. So for me, having those two suicides so at such transitional ages was just made those transitions really challenging. Yeah.
Now the book goes on to follow you a little bit through your life, and of course you don't really escape unscathed from this. I don't see how anybody really could. It does affect your being able to form relationships yourself later on in life, doesn't it?
Yeah, I do. I kind of feel like this book I suppose it follows my childhood and what happened within my family, and it ends when I'm about 26. And I often think that if I wrote a sequel, the sequel would be about how those effects, how the suicides made it tricky for me to form, especially romantic relationships. It's a sort of subtle part of the book, but I do think it is kind of quite a lot about trust, and how when someone chooses to leave you in that way, it creates a real fractured sort of experience of trust.
It's interesting that you talk about trust, because the opposite to that is betrayal. So you feel perhaps in a way you were betrayed by both those suicides.
I think it's really hard not to think about it that way, because when someone suicides, they're leaving you, and they're leaving you in a way that's completely final, that never ever can be undone. And so, yeah, it's like it feels like a door slamming, or a, you know, but it times 1,000. And I definitely feel, well, it's a betrayal of the relationship that you have. And I think when it comes to forming new relationships, you know, I notice that a lot of people I know are afraid of betrayals like infidelity, or like someone deciding to end the relationship, but continue on. But a suicide doesn't have that element. It doesn't have any continuation of relationship.
Did it make you feel that you just weren't good enough to make your father stay?
I mean, I think you have like a whole different series of feelings about it, but that was definitely one of the feelings that I had. You know, that not that I wasn't good enough necessarily, but that the relationship wasn't strong enough, so that, you know, he obviously was in a state where he was in unbearable pain, but that the relationship itself that he had with me wasn't enough to overcome that pain. That's a fact, I suppose, or it felt to me like a fact. So, yeah, it makes it's a discomforting place to be, I suppose.
Now, I'm going to skip a little bit down to the end of the book, because one of the things that I found really, really illuminating but also very touching was that it was not until much later in your life that you actually began to talk about this with your family. You internalised a lot of your own pain, and of course that made it very difficult to actually bear, particularly as other people seem to find it very difficult to broach the subject with you too, because there's such a taboo when these things happen. People aren't sure whether you want to forget about it or whether you really want to talk about it.
Just a general awkwardness of how to even ever come to speaking about it. So even though there might be a certain degree of willingness on somebody else's part and that you might be willing also, just to even begin to negotiate that conversation seems to be, in my experience, a really tricky area.
And the other thing I think was that came from it is just the importance of perhaps trying to initiate these discussions, because it was your brother, Jake, then came out with a completely different viewpoint. From his standpoint, the whole thing looked different. And then very quickly your mother changed your viewpoint of the whole thing too. So in fact, you very much told the story from your standpoint, which is all anyone can do in a memoir, but it is also very revealing of the fact that we all see these things differently. We're all going through things in a different way. And communication seems to be the most important thing that comes out of all this.
I think that my family, my sort of immediate family, the three of us that were left at home, were very frightened of harming each other. And so we were very cautious about conversations about what we thought had happened or what we thought had caused my father's last decisions, you know. So really they were never had those conversations, or I don't have any memory of them happening. And so, yeah, it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 5 or so years later that we kind of started to breach that area. And, what I discovered was that we all had very different beliefs about what had gone on in those last weeks or whose responsibility it was or... so I definitely think that conversations about that early, even if they seem painful at the time, are exceptionally important. And I also think conversations for the whole time afterwards, and that would definitely be my advice to anyone who was trying to be there for someone who had experienced something like this, is just to, I always say, step forward, don't step back. Meaning just give it a go. Like, it's awkward and you might get it wrong, but that's better than the conversation not happening, in my opinion.
Staying's not your first book, it's actually your third. I think so. It took you a while to get the courage up to write a memoir about this, didn't it?
It was very difficult to write that, and I don't mean emotionally, I mean although that too, but I mean in a craft sense. That it was because it was actually the first book that I wrote, and it's the first draft I wrote about nearly, I don't know, 15 years ago or something, and it was in its initial stage incredibly cathartic experience to write, but quite a fractured text, and I think that's because trauma is quite a fractured experience. So what happens is that the narrative is kind of very complicated in your mind and not very clear, and there's lots of tangents and things like that. So it just took me a really long time, like a really long time, obviously, to get the kind of clarity required to get the text to a place that I wanted it to be. So, and also that it was, that first draft was so cathartic and helpful, but to continuously work on a text that's very traumatic over a long period of time, it ended, I think it's a bit re-traumatising and a bit re-triggering and that sort of thing. So the subsequent drafts were very painful, and they were very, it was very hard to make myself engage with them, you know, like I want to get on with my life and not keep having to go backwards. So it just took me a really long time, because sometimes I would do it another draft and then I would need 6 months or to a year or something to recover myself. And so it was painstaking craft-wise and also emotionally to get the book from a first draft to the place it is now. Yeah.